Praise the Lord. Let me get some glasses on and I'll share a little joke with you. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way here today. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that you accomplish here by your sweet Holy Spirit. I ask you to just pour yourself through me today, and I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A lovely woman from the country, she died, and she found her found outside a beautiful garden with splashing fountains and bright flowers, but she was alone and the gate was locked. When Saint Peter finally came, the woman asked him, "This is surely a wonderful place. It must be heaven. How do I get in?" "You have to spell a word," said the saint. "What word might that be?" "Love," said he. Well, she spelled it all right and was admitted through the gates of heaven. About a year later, St. Peter asked the woman if she would mind guarding the gate a short while for him. And while she was waiting, her husband arrived. "How have you been?" she asked. "Oh, not bad," he said. "I married the pretty nurse that took care of you, and then I won the lottery. I sold our little cottage and bought a lovely mansion. My wife and I traveled around the world, and today I was skiing and broke my neck, and here I am. How do I get in?" "Well, you have to spell a word." "What's the word?" "Czechoslovakia." I bet there ain't nobody out there that can spell Czechoslovakia. He told her too much information, didn't he? He should have said, "I've been okay." Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. It's pretty good. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to tell you another joke, okay? This one doesn't talk about heaven, though. Once there was a little boy who lived in the country. They had to use an outhouse, and the little boy hated it because it was hot in the summer, cold in the winter, and it smelled bad all the time. That's right. And it was on the bank of a creek. And the house was sitting on the bank of a creek, and the little boy determined that one day he would push the outhouse into the creek. One day after a spring rain, the creek was swollen, so the little boy decided today was the day to push that outhouse into the creek. So he got a large stick and started pushing. Finally, the outhouse toppled onto the creek and floated away. That night, his dad told him they were going to the woodshed after supper. Knowing that meant a spanking, the little boy asked why, and the dad replied, "Someone pushed the outhouse into the creek today. It was you, wasn't it, son?" The boy answered, "Yes." Then he thought for a moment and he said, "Dad, I read in school today that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and didn't get into trouble because he told the truth." The dad replied, "Well, son, George Washington's father wasn't in the cherry tree." Dad was in the outhouse when he pushed him into the creek. Okay, that's enough jokes for today. I like both of them. I thought they were pretty funny. Okay, wait, hold on, let me come over here. Got to get on here. All right. All right.
So years ago, I used to be a backhoe operator for VEPCO, okay? Virginia Electric Power Company. And there was an outhouse, you know, a porta potty, mm-hmm. you know, sitting there, and it was on a pallet, mm-hmm. you know. Well, I hadn't seen anybody go in and out of it, and it was right in the way I needed to dig this trench. Mm-hmm. So I just stuck the bucket up against it and kind of pushed it over about 50 foot and pushed it up against this wall. Mm-hmm. And, buddy, that guy come out of there, he was mad. He was furious, dude. I didn't see him go in there. Of course, I couldn't hear him screaming because the motor's in the front of a backhoe, you know. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I got in real trouble on that one.
Yep. The motto is find out if there's somebody in there before you do whatever you do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, Lordy. Well, at least we've had a couple laughs here this morning. Praise God. And laughter's like a medicine, Scripture says. And it surely does make you feel better. Praise God. You know, last couple of weeks I've talked to you about basically about acknowledging that there's none good but God and everything's good if God's in it. And, you know, we like I say, we used to sing that song, Let Me See the Hand of God in Everything, for I know that not but pleasure it will bring. And, you know, it takes real maturity to acknowledge God in every situation and in every circumstance. And last week I read you some different situations where people basically ended up acknowledging God, basically is what it really amounted out to. And because they took positive attitudes. And, you know, attitude has a lot to do with anything that happens in life and how you fare and go through it or don't go through it. And the title to this little sermon today is Attitude, okay? And I'm going to start reading to you out of Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, what we'll read about is the Beatitudes, okay? And this is what Jesus said, and this little sermon is from Jesus. It's not from Oscar, okay? Because it's right out of his word. In chapter 5, it says, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he had set his disciples, he came to them, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, when he talks about being poor in spirit, he's talking about really about realizing that without him you have nothing. You know, he is the exceeding great reward. He is the treasure in earthen vessel. He is all of those things, you know. And we're, you know, Scripture tells us we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And you know, it's part of us, but it's because he's there. You know, his spirit is there. And when you acknowledge your poorness in spirit before him, then I believe his richness of his presence can be seen, begin to be seen in your life, because you realize that anything that you have really is all because of him. But it's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The next one is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you know, when you talk to somebody about mourning, you know, a lot of times you have to realize that people are sad and they mourn over something, you know, when you lose a loved one, or sometimes people will mourn over a job, or they'll mourn over a lot of different things. But when you come to a place where you realize that without him, you're in a constant state of mourning, you know, and you shall be comforted when you have acknowledged him. The next one is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And one time years ago, we had some discipleship classes, and it was a lot of years ago. And it was actually when Lily was still coming to church, you know, Lily Caraway. And she was leading these discipleship classes. And we were going through these little booklets, and Lily was real good at things like that, you know. And she wanted each one of the people in this class to take one of the Beatitudes and get up and talk about it, you know. And then after each person got up and talked about each one of the Beatitudes, then she wanted me to get up and summate everything. So I got to talk about all of them a little bit. But you know, when you realize that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And one of the things that I said about meekness is meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. And that was what the Lord showed me when I looked at that one. It's strength under control. And you know, Moses was considered one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. But yet God used him in a place of strength and used him in a place of deliverance. And when you realize that true meekness is just really having your strength and God's strength under his control. And when he's in control of everything, then it's all going to work out just fine. And, you know, the next one is blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And, you know, when it says hunger and thirst after righteousness, I don't know about you all, but if you've ever been out and you're really hungry, you know, and I mean you're really hungry, a lot of times most American people don't really know what it is to be actually hungry. You know, we'll say, I'm starving to death, and we just ate breakfast 2 hours ago, you know, or something or something like that. But you know, if you're really hungry, you can't wait to get something to eat. You can't, I mean, you know, you're desperate, you know. And you know, when it says blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And most of us don't really know what it is to be thirsty, to not have water for long periods of time, you know, like some people. But I'll tell you what, if you're out in the desert and there's no water, you know, I'm sure y'all seen the commercial for that stuff you put in water, and that guy's out in the desert, and they throw him some water, and Clyde's got some there in that bottle of water. What I'm talking about. See his colored bottle of water there, Clyde's? He's got some of the stuff in there. But they throw the guy some water, and he says, "Ah, I don't want that," you know. And then they throw him some of that stuff to put in the water to make it taste good. Then he's okay, buddy. He was dying of thirst, but he had to have something to put in that water. Well, real thirst is that there's nothing as refreshing as water. And, you know, when you're thirsty, the best thing you can ever drink is just pure, clean water. You know, but blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And, you know, when it's talking about being filled, it's talking about being... That word filled there means like to be gorged. And I kind of know what gorging is, because at Thanksgiving when I used to go to my mother's, you know how mothers are, they want you to keep eating and eating and eating, you know. And I can't eat no tremendous amount of stuff. I mean, like when I would get food, you know, I'd take maybe a little bit of turkey, a little bit of dressing, a little bit of mashed potatoes, and a bunch of different things. But I usually would only have so much on there. And then after I eat that, I don't want any more, you know. Maybe an hour or two later I might, but not right then. Well, I'm going to tell my brother. My brother used to get a plate, and there was not one square inch on that plate that wasn't packed up with food, and it was about that high. And then he would eat it, and I'd see him the next day after Thanksgiving or a day or two later, and he'd say, "Oh, I was so sick over the weekend." He says, "I got to quit eating so much when I go to Mother's." And I'm thinking, yeah, that plate was stacked that high. You know, I guess so. Because he'd fill up a plate like that, eat it, and then get another one sometimes and eat it. Because he liked them for cooking so much. And I mean, you know, that's a good thing that you like your mother's cooking, but you don't want to gorge yourself. But he's saying, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be gorged. And you know, when you're gorged, you can't eat anymore. That means you're totally full. You can't eat anymore. And he's just saying that when you hunger and thirst for me, I'm going to fill you up so full that you can't take any more of me. You know, that's a great place to be. And then the next one is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you know, being merciful to someone, a lot of times we find ourselves where, if we're not careful, we're judgmental towards people, or we point a finger of accusation towards them. And you know, it's like the old saying, when you point one out there, how many you got pointing back at you? Three. You got three pointing back at you. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you know, in James, there's a scripture that says, he shall have judgment without mercy to him that hasn't shown mercy. But it also says mercy, and I like this translation that says it this way, mercy rejoices in the face of judgment. When you're merciful to other people, then you're going to obtain that same mercy from God. You know, remember the story of the guy that owed the master a lot of money. And the master said, well, you know, I'm going to forgive you that money that you owe me. You've been forgiven. Well, then he went back and somebody owed him a little bit of money, and he's ready to turn that guy over to the tormentors and everything else to get his little bit of money. Well, then the master says to him, you wicked servant, didn't I forgive you the massive amount, basically, that you owed me? And then you can't even forgive this person the little amount, you know? And you know, there's a true law in giving mercy to people. When you give mercy, you're going to get mercy back. And we all need mercy at times, I tell you, because we all fall short of the glory of God at times. And then the next one here is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you know, how do you become pure in heart? What do you do to become pure in heart? You know what you do to become pure in heart? You do just like David did when he fell short and he committed adultery with someone. And it's in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 54, I think it is. I believe that's right. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit. And you know, God is the only one who can create in you a clean heart. You can't create yourself a clean heart for yourself, but you have to acknowledge that he is the one, and you have to ask him, Lord, create a clean heart in me and a right spirit. Because when he does that, he knows how to clean the place up good. And we don't, usually, because there's little areas where we want to hang on to that area sometimes, you know. But I tell you what, he will create a clean heart in you. And he likes when you pray like that. And, you know, and not only that, but when you're pure in heart and you have that desire to be pure in heart, what does it say? For they shall see God. And what does Scripture talk about when you see God? You'd be just like him. And that's exactly because he has a pure heart. God does. And when you begin to ask him to create in you a clean heart, and he's going to purify your heart. The next one is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I've told you all this story before, and you probably remember, maybe you will, maybe you won't. When I used to work at this machine shop, for some reason, God would always have guys want me to get involved in committees and stuff like that. And I really didn't want to do it, you know. But they'd come to me and say, will you be on the committee? Will you be on the committee? Because we trust you, they'd tell me. Well, that's nice to know that people trust you. But I think really what it was is they were scared to be on the committee, because if they went and talked to the company, you know, they didn't want to get in bad light with the company. It was okay for you to get in a bad light with the company, but they didn't want to be there. And you know, and also when we had one time when we got a union in the company, I made top money and I didn't need a union. You know, I had no use for a union. But because they kept coming to me and saying, will you be on the committee, the negotiating committee for the first contract we had? And they said, we know that you'll not just look out for yourself, you'll look out for everybody. Well, that's a nice thing for people to tell you, like I say, but you're the one that's out there stepping out, conceivably maybe losing your job or whatever, which could have happened. But anyway, the part I was going to tell you is that when I was on this committee to try to, they wanted to try to get some health insurance, you know, like some sickness and accident insurance. And we had a thing called mutual aid where we all of the guys would kick in like 20 something bucks or so a week or something like that. And then if somebody got sick, they'd take the pool of that money and give them money. Well, they wanted to actually get the company to have some sickness and accident insurance where they carried it. And they wanted us to try to negotiate with them. And I worked right next to this department where this guy over here named Bill, he was the group leader over there. He had a real volatile temper. He'd get mad really easy. And I seen him and another guy standing over there because where my machine was, I could look across and I could see them talking. And I could tell what they were talking about. They were talking about that insurance. And Bill was getting hot, and I could see him getting red-faced and stuff. And I mean, he'd get really volatile when he got mad. And I could see him over there fussing basically about it. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, should I walk over there and try to, you know, calm this thing down a little bit or what? And finally, I said, well, yeah. I told myself I'm going to walk over there. And I walked over there, and I told him, I said, guys, I said, there's no point in arguing about this. I said, we don't even know if we're going to get it or what's going to happen here. I said, we're just going to approach the company and talk to them and see if they'd be willing to give us some sickness and accident insurance. And about that time, the guy who worked behind me, Chuck, he was a little bit, I don't know, kind of wild running a machine sometimes. And about that time, I hear a big crash, and I see a shaft about this long and about that big around come flipping up in the air and come and landed right where I would have been standing had I not walked over there and talked to them guys. And that scripture about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, that took on a new meaning to me right then, because it saved my life, because I walked over there trying to be a peacemaker, you know. And I thought, okay, Lord, I know what that scripture means now, because I surely was blessed, because otherwise I could have been killed, because that thing came right down and landed right where I was standing. And it was about an inch and a half diameter, or maybe an inch and three quarter or so, and it was flipping through the air. And where I was standing, there's no way I could have got out of the way in time, because it was about this long. So it was flipping around. It probably would have knocked the top of my head off. But that took on a great new meaning to me after that, because surely I was trying to be a peacemaker, and being a peacemaker probably saved my life right at that moment. Then the next one there is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you, there's a difference between being persecuted when you did something wrong and persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, righteousness' sake is if you didn't do anything wrong and people are persecuting you. People are saying bad things about you or treating you bad or whatever. And, you know, I can remember a couple of times when I was a young Christian, ended up talking to somebody and trying to witness to them before the Lord taught me to witness to people when he inspired me to witness to them, not to just go out trying to witness to everybody. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you go out and do that, you're going to get persecuted, and you're going to get persecuted pretty heavy. But when you go out and talk to people when he's inspired you to talk to someone, or it's a different story. But I was talking to this guy who worked over in the milling section, and he was very negative, and he was a Catholic, and he was carrying on back then. This was about back when Jim Baker and all that stuff was going on with Jim Baker and that Heritage Foundation down there and all that stuff. And boy, he was just kept carrying on something awful about, you know, what a mess that was and Christian people and, you know, and they couldn't believe it. That guy spent all that money and all this kind of stuff. And I probably shouldn't have said this to him, but it was about around that time when the Pope was coming to America. and I had read somewhere where they were spending millions, just literally millions and millions of dollars trying to make sure the Pope was safe, you know, and had brought his Pope mobile over here and all kind of things, you know, and all this different stuff. And I said to him, I said, what do you think about them spending all that money and the Pope coming to America? I said, wouldn't it have been better if the Pope just stayed over in Italy and they gave that money to the poor folks or something? Or he didn't like it. I probably shouldn't have said that to him. But anyway, you know, we got to talk, and then I told him, I witnessed to him about how the Lord had healed me from epilepsy when I was a kid, you know. And, you know, I could tell it went over like a lead balloon, you know. He didn't believe in healing and all this and that. Well, about the same time that this was going on was when the charismatic movement was coming through the country, you know. And his wife went up to Notre Dame, to the college. There was a big rally up there. They had a priest and I think a Baptist preacher up there was having some kind of rally, and people were getting saved and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and all kind of things, you know. And there was a pretty good movement going on up there at that time. Well, his wife had bad feet, really bad feet, and she couldn't walk very well. I mean, she was really, really, really bad. Anyway, she went up there and she got healed. Her feet got healed. And it was kind of funny because when she came back and all of a sudden that same guy who was fussing with me about healing, and he didn't believe that and he didn't believe this and he didn't believe that, God let his wife get healed. And he was singing a little different tune after that. And you know, that's the way sometimes it is. You can get persecuted for righteousness' sake, you know, and it says, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. But if you're being persecuted for doing the right thing, then that's when this scripture kicks in. But if you're being persecuted because you did the wrong thing, then this scripture don't kick in too much right there. You know, and the next scripture there says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you know, like I say, if people are saying things about you and you actually did what they're saying, you need to just grin and bear it and go on. And even if you didn't do what they're saying you did, you need to just leave that in the hands of the Lord, because he has a way of balancing all of those things out. But if we will take those attitudes, to be these attitudes that I just read to you, then what will begin to happen is those attitudes will begin to raise us up into a higher realm. You know, I was looking at the word attitude, and do you know when you take an airplane flight, they have a gauge in that plane that has attitude written on it? Did you know that? They do. And you know what the attitude is in flight? It's where they look out to the horizon and it lets you know how high you are above the horizon. Well, what happens in the horizon? What happens in the morning in the horizon? the sun rises, and in the evening the sun sets. But I'm going to tell you what, if you lose perspective of where the horizon is and you're flying, you're going to crash into a mountain, you're going to crash into the ground, and I don't care which direction you go, if you go up or you go down, it has to do with your attitude, okay, in flying, in an airplane. And I'm going to tell you, spiritually speaking, whether you go up or you go down has to do with your spiritual attitude. And, you know, I said this to you last week, attitude depends on your altitude. And if you don't have the right attitude, you're not going to have the right altitude, you know. And I'm just telling you, these Beatitudes, he's basically telling you, be these attitudes. And what you really need to do is you need to ask the Lord to help you in each one of these Beatitudes to help you be these things. Because you can't be them on your own strength. You can try as hard as you want, you know, to be meek. And then somebody can say something to you, you can say, well, I'm going to be meek today. Well, I got news for you. The first time somebody says something that hits you in the wrong way, it touches that nerve, all that meekness just went out the window. But I tell you what, if we pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. Help me to remember that if I see somebody that has less than me, rather than looking down on them, I say to myself, how could I help them and raise them up some? You know, I love what Clyde told when he told that story about the guy when we donated clothes and stuff for them to take to poorer people that didn't have anything. And I love what he said. He said that the guy, every time that he goes down there, he comes back with no shoes on. Think about it. You know what he does? When he has somebody down, sees somebody that doesn't have shoes, and they ask him, don't you have any shoes? If he's got the right size, guess what? He gives them his shoes. And you know, I was thinking about when we did the Beatitudes. I've told you this little story too. When we did the Beatitudes, Lily, she talked about, you know, doing jail ministry. And she said that she went to the jail, and we did a little bit of jail ministry here too. And I used to have a badge where I could get into jail and talk to people. I don't have any more, but they got a new sheriff and you had to go through it again or something. But anyway, she said she went to the jail to minister to this woman. And she said, when she got there, she asked the woman, she says, why are you in jail? She said, because my kids didn't have no shoes, and I stole shoes to try to give them shoes. And she said, you know, I kind of thought, you know, I mean, she kind of had the thoughts of, I don't know if, you know, if she's telling me the truth or not. And she asked her, she says, well, where do you live? And the lady told her. And she said, I went to see that person's house. And she said she had a whole bunch of little kids. And she said none of them had shoes. And she said, now how could I go back and talk to that woman about the love of God unless I bought all them kids' shoes? And she did. And that touches my heart, because that's what some of these scriptures are about. You know, you can say, oh, that's awful that they don't have anything. But are you willing to do anything to change that situation? And especially if God has blessed you, what are you going to do? You going to store it up, keep getting more and more and more and more? Or are you going to give some of it back and help people that need help? I mean, geez, let's get real with it, you know? Our attitude will determine our altitude. And I tell you what, Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we do this? And what was his reply? Insomuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Think about that one. And you know what? We all could do a whole lot more than what we do. A whole lot more. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too. I mean, when I'm talking to you, I'm really talking to me too. Because I tell you what, we all have way, way more than what we need. But if we have the right attitude and we be these attitudes, we're going to find that we're in seated together with him in heavenly places in a higher altitude. And that higher altitude will not only that do that, but it will allow you to have vision to where you can see things for what they really are. You know, I love the story of the eagle. And you know, out here on Bypass 4, if you drive up at Bypass 4 and you looked over to the right as you were going up towards the other end of Route 4, which it runs in a big loop, but if you was going, I guess it'd probably be north, I'd say. But if you were going up through there and if you looked over to the right, there used to be a tree over there. And there was this huge nest in this tree. It was pretty far out there. But it was a huge nest in this tree. And there was an eagle. And they even had it on the news a couple of times. Well, the other day, I was driving up through there. And I'd look over every time. And once or twice, the eagle flew over my car. You know, I mean, he'd come out and he'd fly. You'd see him come out and fly. And once in a while, I think once or twice in all the years I lived up here, he flew over my car. And it was a bald eagle, you know, it was a big eagle. And anyway, when I drove up through there the other day, I looked over and I thought, I think that tree's gone. And I told Margaret when we got past, I said, I think that tree's gone. Because there's nothing out there, you know, it's just kind of vast and there's water down in below and everything. And the next time I came down through there, I looked over and I said, that tree's gone. And I looked, and the tree must have broke. The tree was dead. You know, it didn't have, never did have leaves on it. And there's a couple of them back there, and it was a big, pretty tall tree. And I looked over, and I could see where the tree had broke off, but I couldn't see the tree. So I don't know if a farmer took it down or what happened. You know, you never know about stuff like that, because sometimes those animals will take their chickens or whatever and stuff like that. But I noticed that eagle was gone. But I tell you what, if you know how an eagle flies and you know what an eagle does, you know, the name of this church is Wings Christian Fellowship. And you know, the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as an eagle. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And we used to sing, teach me, Lord, to wait. But, you know, the thing about lifting your wings, if you watch an eagle, eagles don't flap their wings hardly at all. When they first take off, they'll flap their wings a couple of times. And then they just stretch them out. And they catch what's called the thermals. That's the flowing of the air up above. You know, the warm and the cool air that makes turbulence up above. And they catch the turbulence. And because they've got those wings spread out, they soar, and they soar, and they soar. And I forgot who it was. Somebody was talking about a crow landing. Crows would attack eagles. That was you. And you said that they will get on the back of an eagle and keep pecking at the back of it, you know. But you said that the eagle will continue to soar and soar higher and higher and higher, and they apparently have the ability to get extremely high. And when they get so high, the crow can't breathe up there and he falls off. And you know what, that was a perfect example of really the attitude even of that eagle. All that eagle would do was just keep those wings, and the wings I'm talking about for us is prayer and praise. And if you keep those two wings stretched out continuously, you can soar in the heavenlies. And when you soar in the heavenlies, not only do you go up higher and higher, but God begins to give you eagle vision. When you look down, you can begin to see things for what they really are. You know, when we're on the ground, you know, our vision is very limited down here on the ground. When we look out into a field or something, we might see a little chipmunk climbing on a tree or see this or that. But if we could soar up into the sky up above, our vision maybe would be this wide. You soar up into the sky, your vision spreads way out. You can see for a tremendous distance. And not only that, but if you have eagle vision, you can look down and see every little movement on the ground and every little thing that's happening on the ground. And you know what? That's the kind of vision that God wants us to begin to have. He wants us to soar into the heavenlies with Him. And when we look at things, we need to look at them with the perspective of we'll begin to see what's really happening. You know? Praise the Lord. But think about these Beatitudes. Read through them. Read them each day. And not only when you read them each day, ask the Lord, Lord, help me become these attitudes. You know, a lot of times, different times, Jesus would say, be ye, or God would say, be you. And you know what? When He says, be you, you are. And when He's saying, the Beatitudes, let's begin to say, Lord, I want to be those attitudes. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll begin to find ourselves soaring into higher and higher realms in God and seeing things for what they really are. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. I know I've been a little floppy on these Beatitudes. I didn't do them very well, but you know what? God knows, and you know, that if you become these things, this is Jesus' teaching. It's not mine. It's His teaching. Be these things. He's saying, be these attitudes. And if we'll be these attitudes, we'll find that we will soar into the heavenlies with Him. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, that truly you want us to be merciful. And you know that word, each one of them says, blessed are they that do these things. I love what that means if you look into the Greek in that. It literally means supremely blessed. It don't mean just blessed. It means supremely blessed. And I don't know about you. I want to be blessed of God, but I really want to be supremely blessed of Him. Because, boy, that even takes it to an even higher level. But thank God that He's going to help us be those things. And it's going to be because of what He did, not because of what we do, if we'll just ask Him and we'll acknowledge Him in each one of those situations. And Father, I just thank You for Your words. They truly are spirit and life, and I just ask You to help us move and flow into those situations that You would have us. And when You open up opportunities for us to be the merciful, help us to be merciful. When you open up opportunities for us to even minister to the poor and the poor in spirit, Lord, help us to do that. And help us, Father, to even admit our poorness in spirit without You. Because without You, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And I just ask You, Father, to help us keep that jointness, that acknowledgement of that You are our very life. In You we live and move and have our being. And Father, I'll give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And I ask You to just bless Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody like prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to minister to you. God bless you.